Welcome to the Real Truth Matters podcast. I'm Dan Harder, your host. The RTM podcast is all about showing you how to live in biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect. And now, here's Real Truth Matters founder and director, Michael Durham.
Thanks, Dan. I'm so excited about today's podcast. I want to help us navigate between the ditches of what's considered normal Christianity. Some live in the ditch of believing their walk with God ought to be a Mount of Transfiguration experience every day. They expect the spectacular and sensational always. And if a miracle does not happen each day, well, they begin to question their faith. They truly believe the Christian life is the constant display of the supernatural. Others find the opposite side of the road much more comfortable to travel. They're at home in the ditch of the non-experiential. Reverence and theological accuracy are the premiums belonging to this well-worn furrow. Any excitement or emotional experience is suspect of a pernicious carnality, a quivering spleen or liver, an unbiblical biological response to some sinful stimuli. For this crowd, the stiffer the upper lip, the better. I understand these two positions and the reasons for them. One group wants to avoid a lifeless Christianity that is as dry as last year's corn husks. They read their Bibles and understand that God is a God to be personally experienced. They hear and see the experiential leaping from the pages. The other group is deathly afraid of anything unscriptural, unfounded, and unconventional. Anything that is disassociated from the mind is rejected. They've seen the abuse of experience from certain circles, and they rightly want to avoid such carnality. Please consider which of the two you are more in sympathy with. Are you the one who loves to quote Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, thinking that if Jesus performed miracles during his earthly sojourn, then surely he should still be firing out signs and wonders today like a factory assembly churning out parts. But my friend, where has this led you and what has it got you? Most likely disappointment. You're disappointed that your prayers seem unanswered since the power of God didn't fall from the sky as fire. And could it be that disappointment has evolved into disillusionment, if not altogether discouragement? Do you wonder why it is that God does not appear friendly, conversive, or open to your fellowship? You feel life is a faith failure, that your faith is not strong enough to unlock the door to your miracle, why it's not even strong enough to turn the knob on the door. And to my friend whose approach to Christianity is more intellectual than emotional, I would like to make some inquiries of you as well. Do you ever think that there may be more to being a Christian than reciting some ancient creed or your regard for a historic confession? Does your constant dotting the I's and crossing the T's leave your heart feeling cavernous, empty, and unfulfilled? Do you see certain believers who love the Bible as you do, but they seem to be more joyful than you? They seem to have a more intimate connection with not simply doctrine, but with the Christ of which the doctrine is about. Or have you considered that maybe your relationship with God should be more than the enthusiasm you feel when you've mastered some theological dilemma? Is it possible that you've reduced the faith to some kind of Christian stoicism? But the real question is this: which of the two groups is correct? Sadly, they both are Christians, grinding out their existence in their respective ruts. And a rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends removed. Both camps become very much the same. They live a joyless, mundane, and dull Christian life. The emotional miracle seeker turns to the kind of church that can make him or her feel something exciting for at least an hour on Sunday, while the dispassionate soul seeks from their church an intellectually stimulated discourse that will make them feel academically challenged. But both groups are basically the same. They're just turning to two different resources for stimulation that sadly lacks what Jesus said he came to give, life more abundantly. Neither group describe has a proper handle on the Christian life. As always, both ditches hug a road built to be traversed. Somewhere between emotionalism and intellectualism is biblical spirituality. And biblical spirituality is, unfortunately, a less traveled road. Too many have lined up to journey in the rut, and thus a kind of rot has infested the soul. Either we want an emotional high or desire no feelings whatsoever. Such cannot be found in the Bible, and thank God, for such is not any kind of life, certainly not life more abundantly. Oh, you say, Durham, you're now outside the confines of Scripture, and you're dabbling into the discussion of personality and temperament. Some may even accuse me of tampering with psychological profiles, and that a person's profile has no bearing on spirituality. Well, neighbor, I can say in rebuttal that what I'm discussing has nothing to do with personality, psychological profiles, or even what side of the bed you get up on. That was my grandmother's answer for why some had an irritable disposition, as she said. They got up on the wrong side of the bed. Now, granted, a man's temperament will make him lean to one side of the road or the other. But that's not the governance or work of God in the soul of a man. The Bible says, "Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It also says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Romans chapter 15, verse 13. None of these biblical statements say anything about personality, sanguine or phlegmatic, choleric or melancholy. The Bible doesn't say you have joy unspeakable if you're not given to stoicism. There are no qualifications such as, "God will fill you with all joy and peace," unless you are of a depressed nature. The Bible makes these assertions, and they are irrespective of temperament or mood. No matter how stoic your makeup is, you're still capable of feeling sentiment, passion, and emotional sensations. You may not experience them to the same degree as a person who is very emotional, but you nonetheless feel them. The Bible emphatically states that there is an emotional side to the faith, as does of there being an intellectual side. The biblical pathway paved millennia ago incorporates both feeling, faculties, and faith. We need not live on the fringes, but enjoy the thoroughfare made for us that the saints of the ages have trod. I'd like to present to you that most faithful and enduring road that seems less traveled today than it was during the days of our ancient and not-so-ancient forefathers. It is what I call solid-state Christianity. Solid-state Christianity is the faithful plodding of the Christian because they believe in Scripture. Faith is not a battleground between heart and mind, but a pilgrimage where both you and Christ walk together in harmony. Our journey begins with the acknowledgement that true biblical spirituality is a holistic experience. It's not just about intellectual ascent or emotional highs. It's about engaging both the heart and the mind in a confederacy of devotion. It's not a tightrope walk, where only one or the other can walk if the balance is maintained. Both the intellect and the emotions can traverse side by side, guided by the heart's rhythm and the mind's discernment. Contrary to popular belief of those in the ditch of emotionalism, the core of Christian living is not always marked by sensationalism. Instead, it is deeply rooted in a journey of faith, transcending mere feelings. The Christian's life is more about faith than fleeting emotions. It's not an enthusiasm that captivates the soul with constant emotional highs, but a steady and enduring journey that thrives in the everyday, the mundane, and the seemingly ordinary. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and that includes even feeling. It's not about the tangible, sir, or the spectacular. It's about the unseen, the intangible. Herein is the bedrock of Christian existence. Faith standing strong even when emotions waver. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul describes the Christian race as a pressing toward something, emphasizing forward motion, the persistence, the daily grind. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's not about momentary emotional highs, but about the disciplined pursuit of the goal set before us. To the Corinthians, Paul compared his walk with God to a boxing match, where he boxed his own body to bring it into submission. Not even Paul, the great apostle who experienced amazing miracles, including anyone and everyone who was touched by his work apron, was healed. Not even he saw a miracle every day. He tells the same Corinthians that his life was very difficult and often unpleasant in conditions and treatment. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. But lest you think the Christian life is strictly altogether mundane, if not unpleasant, there are moments and seasons of the extraordinary. There's a normal, solid-state Christianity, and then there are extraordinary experiences of God's presence. The solid-state experience, however, fuels the extraordinary. It's like a husband and wife whose normal interaction of love fuels the moments of intimacy. Days may go by, and a couple grinds out a normal marriage. The schedule may not afford special times for conversation or romance. Nevertheless, the marriage fosters an environment where their friendship thrives. They are the best of friends, and although they may not share intimate moments, those ordinary moments will fuel the intimate intervals. The intimacy, including physical, is a result of the ordinary friendship that exists between them. The ordinary acts of love, kindness, friendship, these things fuel the flame of passion and romance. And so, living to experience emotional highs is what a person whose faith is either low or non-existent lives for. You see, they don't trust the Lord's promised abiding, His commitment to always be there. Thus, they need to feel something to be reassured of His promise. But the answer is not to be content with feeling nothing and alarmed if you do feel something. That isn't it either. The answer of the intellectual stoic to turn Christianity into an academic achievement where dispassionate reason is the pinnacle of faith is also not acceptable. The Bible teaches that the ordinary becomes extraordinary by faith in the Christ who accomplished for us all that we need. Let me explain. This is the heart of what I want to communicate to you. When the mind and heart become fixed upon Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith, we can experience His divine presence, meaning the heart swells with His joy unspeakable when we fixate our attention in meditation on all His graces, His suffering for our condemnation, putting us right with God, His purifying us and sanctifying our every act of obedience that He initiates in us, and making His very brethren, oh, not ashamed to call us such. When we truly meditate on these things, well, our hearts will move in awe, affection, and adoration. This is His blessed manifestation to us, even as He promised. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is solid-state Christianity coming into a new dimension. It doesn't need emotional highs or experiences to possess joy, peace, and love. It needs only to believe. It needs only to drink from His fountain of loving kindness. Faith doesn't need feelings or understanding. It needs Christ. And when Christ is truly believed, both feelings and understanding are granted. Faith becomes the fellowship. Faith becomes the eyes of the Spirit that beholds the Savior. Faith is the very gaze into His eyes and sees that we are the apple of His eye. It's by this means that the ordinary and the extraordinary meet. They meet in a person. One need not hug one side of the road of biblical spirituality or the other. Most of your pilgrimage will not be a Mount of Transfiguration moment. You'll traverse mostly in the lower planes of human suffering. But nevertheless, by faith, the ordinary solid-state Christian existence can experience heaven's sweetness and the rarefied air of glory through the intellect's fascination with the truth of Christ and His redemptive work. Fascination will move the heart to joy unspeakable, and out of the innermost being will rivers of living water flow. It's an amazing thing He has done for us. Oh, my friend, don't let the amazement cease. Do the work of harnessing the power of attention and focus it upon your lovely Lord. That is solid-state Christianity. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. Please check out our website, realtruthmatters.com, for all our resources. It's been recently redesigned and more convenient to use. Also, check out Real Truth Matters on your favorite social media, including Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. And would you please repost our material? It's free to share. Share the ministry with others. Go to the podcast platform you listen to this podcast on and give us a rating. This will help more people to see the podcast and choose to listen. This podcast is all about biblical spirituality, and we hope and pray that it helps you to see how truth intersects with life and is the basis of experiencing the fellowship of God. On behalf of all of us here at Real Truth Matters, thank you for listening today, and may the Lord bless you with His love in a real and tangible way.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Truth Matters podcast. I hope you can see that Christianity is profoundly experiential, but always based on the objective truth of Scripture. If you have questions or comments, please send them to our email address, web@realtruthmatters.com. That's web@realtruthmatters.com. Real Truth Matters Podcast, dedicated to biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect.